I'm Cassidy, one of your Indianapolis Colts cheerleaders, and you're watching the Believe in Colts podcast.
What's going on, Colts Nation? I'm Lawrence Horn. With me, as usual, is my guy, Bam, Bam, right there, Donald Thomas. And look, yes, we know the Indianapolis Colts made a 13-0 comeback, 13-0 comeback without their number one wide receiver in Michael Pittman Jr. after that nasty hit he took in the second quarter from Kazi. Without Zach Moss, he had a bunch of running backs that we had no idea who in the heck they were. You know, guys off the practice squad, people we picked up, wide receivers come in that was on the practice squad, you know, just a week earlier. They come in, they play. Shane Steichen's like, I got this. We're going to go on a 30-0 run. All right, we're going to beat these Steelers. All right, that's just unreal, unreal. We all seen it. We've all heard it. So much stuff talked about that game already. I think we're going to put that game in the past a little bit, all right, because I would like to move to the future. Right now, the Indianapolis Colts still sitting in the playoff seating, have been for the last now 3 weeks in a row. No one really thought that they would make the playoffs. You know, starting the season, they are in the thick of it. Three-way tie for the divisional title with the Jaguars, the Texans, and the Colts, all 8-6. So we're going to discuss who's going to make the stinking playoffs. All right, three games left. Who's going to make the playoffs? Donald, I know I went on a little rant there, about 2 minutes. Left you sitting there just kind of nodding your head, and I'm sorry about that, but I'm going to give you the floor right now. Man, you had the Steelers winning this game. What did the Indianapolis Colts show you when they accomplished what they did?
So I was at the game, right? And so it was interesting to kind of see it. It was very interesting to see because I wanted to see the way that both teams came out and played. And I thought that both teams in the beginning came out and was very competitive. And then I don't know if it was the late hit that kind of took the wind out of the Steelers, which was weird. But they came out in that second half and they were not the same football team. Like, it was just the one thing that I do recall was, like, the energy on that sideline was just, they were just there. They weren't like in it. There was no one they just didn't come out to play second half, and the Colts came out to play. They had all the energy. They were running around, jumping around, hooping and hollering. And the Steelers were just like, hey, I'm ready to go to Cabo. I'm ready to go to Cancun. I'm ready to go to, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're just like, let's get out of this playoff picture. I'm not making this run. Like, and it was just evident. It was obvious. That was my main takeaway, is like, they didn't come out to play the second half. They were a team that they thought they kind of had in the bag, or that the Colts were going to, you know, do something to just give the game away. And they didn't do that. So, you know, like, it's very, very interesting to see how tight this race is for not just the division, but for these playoff spots, because, you know, you see Jacksonville kind of going in the opposite direction right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have some issues, and quite frankly, like, the main, like, blaring one is their quarterback issue. Like, you know, and I hate to see injuries. He can't help what happened to him, but he's just not the same player that he was before he got injured. And so, like, they've been on this losing skid, and it's the perfect time for the Colts. But the bad part is the Texans are deciding to come out to show up and win every game when the Colts are winning too. So it's just going to make things very interesting these last, you know, few games of the season. And it's crazy how, like, they're going to have this showdown at the end. It might be to determine if Jacksonville gets their, you know, their stuff together. It might be, you know, to get into the playoffs for a wild card spot. So, you know, another interesting one is just going to be watching this AFC East between, you know, Buffalo and the Dolphins. And I know, you know, their records don't reflect it, but I was telling you earlier, like, you don't want to play Buffalo right now. Like, you don't want to play. They're playing well. They got chips on their shoulders. All of them do.
So, what's funny is what we were talking about. The in the playoff picture, you literally right now, you have five teams sitting in the AFC at 8-6. Jaguars, the Bengals, the Colts, the Texans, and the Bills. Five teams. Now, most likely Dolphins are going to take their division, right? They're 10-4, all right? They still got a two-game lead on the Buffalo. Is it possible Buffalo could come back and take it? It's possible. I don't think it's going to happen, but I think it is possible. Chiefs sit at 9-5. No one's going to take them over. But the Jaguars, you know, they're 8-6. Like I said, the Browns are 9-5. Of course, the Ravens right now still sitting number one, sitting pretty at 11-3. Yep. So odds are they got their division locked up as well, right? So really, it's a jumbled mess. We was talking about the AFC right now. And before I go any further, I got to remind everybody, BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports from football, boxing, golf, NFL, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember, use promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Now, so looking ahead, as it sits right now, the Indianapolis Colts sitting at the 7th seed, Bengals sitting at the 6th seed, Browns sitting at the 5th seed. All right. There's some tiebreakers there. As we all know, the Browns and the Bengals both beat the Indianapolis Colts. There's a lot of controversy on that Browns game, but on paper, the Browns beat the Colts, right? The Colts so far has a one-game edge on the Texans, which is why the Colts are over the Texans right now. And then, of course, the Bills sitting at 8-6 as well. And then the reason the Steelers are sitting at 10 at 7-7 is because, well, we all watched that game on Saturday. But still a very tight race. There's still other teams that could get in there. I mean, you still got the 7-7 Broncos, right? That could very well make a push in there as well. So, in your opinion, do the Ravens walk away with the first seed in this?
They would have to really do something drastic to not walk away with this number one seed. Just being where they are, how they're playing, the remainder of their schedule. It's not easy, though. Like, they got a tough schedule the last, like, few weeks of here. It is possible to see maybe, which would be crazy, to see, like, the Dolphins. And to see the Dolphins slide into, like, the number one spot. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Or something crazy to happen and the Chiefs slide into number one spot if they run the table.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And like in Baltimore, what works is succumb to two losses, right? And then Kansas City wins all three of their games. Like, it's possible, right? I mean, anything's possible. And I think that when you're looking at this playoff picture, like it's not one that you can just kind of say, like, yeah, like for right now, they're ahead. Like, yeah, right now Baltimore is ahead, but like when you really look at Baltimore's schedule, like they really have their hands full the rest of the season. And I mean, look at it, they got 49ers, Dolphins, and then the Steelers. So they can potentially go 1-2.
Yeah.
Instead of 2-1. You're right, you know what I'm saying? Or I don't see them going 3-0. You know what I'm saying? Like that 49ers game is possibly if you wanted to really call it, that's probably the Super Bowl preview.
But, I mean, you go look at the Dolphins' schedule, it's equally as nasty. I mean, they've got the Cowboys, then the Ravens.
Where? The Bills. Where? Where are the Cowboys at?
They're still a winning home team. They did lose to Buffalo, but, I mean, you still look at their, you know.
Where are they? Where are the Dolphins playing the Cowboys at?
I don't know if it matters as much because Cowboys are a hot weather team as well, right?
Cowboys can't win on the road, and we've seen that. And let's see. And they're playing in Miami, buddy.
But it's, you know, it's Miami.
What does that mean?
It's going to be a warm weather game. It's not.
No, I'm not worried about the weather. I'm just worried about them not being able to play on the road.
On the road. Okay.
Yeah, like they've shown their struggles on the road. Like, so even when you, like, I don't want to switch gears yet, but look at the NFC picture. I find that to be way more intriguing than anything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. But like I said, they travel to the Ravens, and then they host the Bills. I mean, they got a tough schedule too. Right, Ravens game, yeah. No gimme. That's a tight fight game, and Bills Dolphins is just a battle right now.
It always is
division, right? So, I don't know. In my opinion, right now, now that I look at the schedule, I'm like Ravens or Dolphins. It could be either one because of the schedules that they're facing right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. It just, it depends upon who wins two and who loses two. You know, that's what happens at that point.
Yeah.
And the big matchup is when they face each other, right? Whoever wins that probably takes the first seed.
Correct. It'll be interesting to see, though. I mean, I'm like, this is, I mean, if you don't like playoff, like contention mm-hmm. football, and if you don't like to see like a playoff picture shape up right before your eyes, like every week is just crucial for not just what we said, the Colts to win every game. Some of these other teams, they got to win every game too. Like they got to win out or they have to like hope for a miracle. What I don't like is like when we go through these scenarios, like the Jaguars are in, if the Kansas City loses and the Dolphins win and the Browns, I'm like, oh God, just are they in or not? Like, I don't care about all that. Like, that perfect storm for these teams to get in, but it's going to shape up like that in some cases, man. Like, you know, like what'll be crazy is like you can't forget about. And the thing is, like, the teams that really pay attention to are those bottom teams that just get in the playoffs. Excuse me, because I can see like, you know, like okay, let's say the Ravens get a bye, right? So now you're looking at Dolphins playing, if it's still right now, what, the Colts?
Yeah.
In Miami?
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, I don't like that idea.
I don't either, but I can see the Colts beating the Dolphins.
I can if Tyreek Hill's not 100%. I'm a little worried about Tyreek Hill. All right. The rest of the Dolphins, I'm not all that worried about.
That was the weirdest thing that he pulled like last. What was that? I'm still trying to figure that out myself. Like, I don't know. Either I don't want to get off topic, but that was weird. So nonetheless, so you know, like this playoff picture can really be one that can that, you know, I don't know, man. It's very, very, very it's not gonna settle itself till after, you know, the last week of the season.
What are the odds that a backup quarterback ends up in the Super Bowl this year?
Well, let's AFC wise.
Yeah.
I don't see a backup quarterback being a Super Bowl AFC wise.
I see the Bengals have a possibility.
The Bengals are not going to the Super Bowl.
I know, but and then you got the Browns. They're a possibility.
Oh, well, I mean, then you got to say then the Colts.
Then the Colts is a possibility.
Yeah. Okay.
Stroud still hurt.
It's who?
Stroud.
He may or may not. I don't know. I mean, he's not going to be out for too much longer. Put
no,
it like that.
No, he'll probably be back by the Super Bowl. But, I mean.
What's wrong with him?
I can't remember exactly. I know he was out. I think it was a concussion. I'm not for sure. I can look up it real quick.
I don't want to put you through all that trouble, Mark.
Yep, concussion.
No, he'll be back by next week. So anyway, so that's not neither here nor there. Yeah, I mean, I just don't see. I mean, if we're going through every backup quarterback that's starting with a team that has some playoff life, then you have to, you know, you have to say, hey, then in that case, Steelers, right? I mean, like you got to go through all of them. I'm just being realistic. Like,
I'd be surprised if the Steelers win another game this year.
Listen, after watching them in person on Saturday, the way they checked out.
Mm-hmm.
They checked
out. Mike Tomlin, in his press conference afterwards, was like, I have no answers. I have no answers. And that actually came out of his mouth. I don't have any answers for you. All I can tell you is we're going to do things differently from here on out. You know, and I'm just like, that sounds like somebody who thinks his job might be on the line. You know?
Rightfully so. I mean, you haven't won nothing in a while, and you've been seeing everyone on their heads on a chopping block for the longest, and now all of a sudden, I mean, shoot, since Ben left, even Ben's last year was a joke.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, you're not safe, buddy. Nobody's safe. Nobody's job is safe. Like, unless you got some dirty pictures of somebody, you better be, you know, worried about your job.
So, the Colts, last five games the Colts have are five teams that are actually in playoff contention, right? You had the Bengals and the Steelers, right? Which the Colts knocked the Steelers out. Bengals beat the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
Next week we play the Falcons. They're in playoff contention, I think. Yeah. Raiders still have life in the playoffs. They're not in the playoffs. They have to have a lot of help to get in the playoffs, but they still have life to get in there. And then of course the Texans. So the Colts, the last five games this year have been, they've been pretty decent schedule that they've had to face. And I don't know, man. This week, like the next three games, like I talked about, the Falcons, the Raiders, the Texans. I think the Colts could beat all three of these teams. Do I think they do? No. I think they go 2-1. I'm just hoping that one of those two is the Texans, because they have to do that to get in the playoffs.
Correct. I mean, they cannot lose to Houston, period.
No.
So that leaves – who are they going to lose to? Raiders or who's the last team they're playing?
The Falcons are the only team I feel like they have that they could lose to, and it would not hurt their playoff contention as bad, because the Raiders is still a conference team. And with all these teams that are tied, it comes down to conference record, right?
I'm going to tell you what. Out of all those teams – Raiders are the most dangerous team to play, though.
Yeah.
Like, just because of the simple fact that, like, it's coming down to the wire. They like their coach. The players like their coach. They're going to fight for their coach. I think they have a really good defensive line. You know, you can pick out so many different storylines to make them a team that's going to, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if their interim coach right now tells them, like, hey, like, our main focus is to ruin anyone else that has a playoff chance. Like, let's ruin that chance for them. Like, those guys are going to go out there and just really try to, like, put on a performance and like, play well. And, like, they might want him to be the next coach for them. And so if they can get him to 9 wins, that's a win. They're over 500, right? Like, they're, like he's proven that he can pick up the pieces. They're a tough team to play, man. Like, they're a dangerous team to play. They're not, like, I wouldn't say tough, but they can get going. Especially on that defensive side of the ball, like, they can keep their team in the game, like, big time.
Well, I mean, if you look at the Falcons, we don't even know who's going to be the starting quarterback.
I'm not even talking about Heineke.
We don't know. You know, yeah. We have no. Yeah. How difficult is that? I wonder how. it's different for a defensive team, I assume, for the defense to practice and prepare for an offense when you don't know what the quarterback is, right? I mean, it's got to be more difficult, right? Because you don't know, because Heineke is not the same type of quarterback that Desmond Ridder is. Heineke is that guy that can, you know, he likes to get out the pocket and gunsling and things of that nature, and Ritter's more of that pocket pack, kind of a game manager type, you know, quarterback. So That's a lot on Gus Bradley, in my opinion, not knowing who he's going to be facing this upcoming week.
Yeah, that adds a whole nother element to the game. It's like, you got to find that out. You got to be checking these scouting reports and these injury reports, because you need to know who you got, how you got to have the game plan this thing, because, you know, you might have one whole scheme for a pocket passer that you're not going to think's going to get outside the pocket and run, and then before you know it, he ain't in the game. You got someone else starting the game off, and now you got your whole defense is out leveraged from the jump because you're not in the right defensive kind of package. And so it's, that's going to be difficult for him. You know, like you kind of almost have to install two kind of packages with the, hey, this is why we're coming out. If so-and-so is a quarterback, then we got to switch to this. But if not, then we're going to play it. Like, it's a lot, man. And it kind of causes you to not be able to go into a game fully confident of what you're going to do to get the job done. And that's the worst feeling ever. Like, especially as a player, like when you feel like you're not prepared, like you're underprepared for, you know, like the task at hand, that's just like a tall order to fill. And it's very unsettling and very unnerving when you get out there, because you're not, it's like going to a test that you know you didn't prepare hard enough for it. You know you don't know but 70% of the test, like the material. It's no different. But if you can do as much as you can, the only thing I can say is those guys are gonna have to watch film on both quarterbacks and watch how they play it, because there's no other way. You don't know who's gonna be out there.
I got a question, offensive line question. It's what you just talked about got me wondering. When you were playing, do offensive line, do you guys just watch film of the starters, or do you look at the depth guys too and study those as well on the team that you're getting ready to face?
Yeah, so you have to watch everybody, because you're going to get a sprinkle of everybody at some point. And especially you just have to watch because some teams are just, they got guys that just come in for on third down and pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you got to watch his reps. So what I would do is I would watch a full game. I'll watch a full game, you know, from beginning of the first, you know, defensive play to the last defensive play for the defense we're playing. And I'll just go over, I'll look at tendencies. Like every time I watch it, I would watch it more and more, but I'll only watch it from the tight copy unless I knew like there was a blitz coming or whatever. And then I could watch it, you know, say I watched the wide so I could see like the safety rotation or what have you. And then you just have to pay attention to like who's in, when are they in, why are they in, what's the down distance, right? Like, are they blitzing on this? So you know, like, all right, when this guy comes in, if he comes in early on second down, expect blitz because they like to run a lot of line stunts with him and get him moving as opposed to the big 335-pound guy who can't move. And he's kind of just out there. He serves no purpose of them running this twist game. So you just have to understand and know every single person who you're going to be up against, because if you don't, then you're underprepared. Like, I can't study for – that's like knowing 70% of the test. Yeah, he's the starter. He's the guy who's out there. Everyone knows his name. But when he goes like this, I got to know who's coming in for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, like, that's when the good players really, you know, take advantage of – making sure that they stay great or stay good because they're prepared for whoever's out there. It doesn't matter if that starter never even plays. I know the backup because I watched enough film on the backup as well to be able to, you know, ace this exam because I prepared.
So something I did notice defensively, I was watching the All-22 today, this morning, when we had to delay our recording. And I was noticing. Like
a shot. That was a shot.
No, that wasn't a shot. That was an opportunity for me to look at film. Okay, I love watching film.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Gus Bradley didn't blitz that much. Fine. But what I did see was a change.
Mm-hmm.
He ran a twist or a stunt on almost every defensive snap. And it was different kinds. I mean, yeah. I was seeing three tech going to the seven, right? And seven flipping out to the three. I've seen all kinds of crazy stuff, just like completely bypassing linemen. You know, I normally don't see a defensive tackle taken all the way to the outside edge, right?
Yeah. So first off, you can't put anything into that for the upcoming weeks.
Yeah.
That is strictly like this offensive line can't handle movement well. They don't pass twist games off properly. If we continue to make them move, we will find holes and get to the quarterback.
And it worked.
So that stunt you're talking about is called the Pirate O stunt. So like that backside three technique is going to loop around and the nose and the defensive end on the other side are going to stunt across, so that nose is going to stunt across the center's face all the way to the backside guard. That end's going to stunt all the way down into the A gap, and then that backside three technique is going to loop all the way around those two to that outside C gap on the other side. It's called a pirate O stunt. And so it's trying to get, you know, that center to chase down and hoping that the guard, the opposite guard who the nose is crossing face of the center is trying to pick his hip and he get the sack. If that doesn't happen, well, the center's chased him down. So now I can get the end across the guard, the front side guard's face and try to chip that nose. I mean, the center who's chasing the nose around, nose down, and he should be chasing him, should be passing him off. So there's a hole there. And while all this is going on, the three technique that wraps around, he's trying to get around all of that and find another hole and insert himself maybe between the guard and the tackle, depending on what the tackle does, if he shoots too far down. But then it helps if that quarterback were to loop out because he sees these two guys stunting across the face and they're getting penetration. Well, here he goes saying he can loop out. Well, oh, nope, here comes the three technique over the top to get you on that front side where you thought you were free from the D lineman. So it's a cool stunt. You have to be prepared for it. So apparently, like, what Gus saw from Pittsburgh was they don't move well in space. They don't pass twists off. So where we're going to do, we're going to move every single time. We're going to stunt every single time. So, you know, one of those things. But that's the game plan stuff that Gus can do. Now, he can't get real creative on this right this week because there's a little lack of the unknown. Like, there's some unknown to who's going to be behind the center and who's going to be in the backfield. And it's like, all right, well, how do we play this thing? Do we just stick to our laurels and rush the four that we've been rushing all year? And hopefully that just takes care of itself. Or do I have to add a little, you know, a little hot sauce into this thing and spice it up a little bit? What do we do, right? And so it'll be interesting to see what he comes up with here because, going into a game not knowing who your quarterback's going to be that you're going to be you're up against is like, man, you don't know what they're going to do. You don't know if they're going to run the ball. You don't know if they're going to pass the ball. You don't know what – you just don't know, you know?
Well, here's another question. I'm assuming offense and defense are very similar in these situations that sometimes there will be play calls that you just did not practice for a long time. Like you didn't practice it or play it since the beginning of the year, at the end of the year. And then the coach is like, all right, we're doing this play right here, right now. Does that happen a lot? And when it does, is there like, is that a shit your pants moment?
Well, it's just like I said a few weeks ago, it's like the annexation of Puerto Rico. Like when you run something like that, right? So, you know, you put it in during training camp, and it just never gets called. Mm-hmm. And for no rhyme or reason, it's just a play that never gets called until now, right? And so it's one of those deals where you'll get the game plan, and then coaches will go over, hey, we're running this play that we ran, you know, earlier in training camp. We're gonna bring it back out. And you know, honestly, got you. A lot of it for up front for us is no different from a certain play. You just got to remember how to run a certain play. Like it might be, I don't know, it might be some type of special screen play, or it might be some type of, you know, action off of power. And you just have to understand what is all going on in the backfield that might make the linebackers flow differently or the D line to do something different. Or, you know, you're blocking one way, but reversing out. So you got to, you know, do something, you know, tricky. Like you got to whip around the defender and pin them on the backside because the ball's coming back the other way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, hey, once you're able to play football and you understand the game, there's not too much that – there's just all just little variances off of the main core plays. But it'll be interesting to see, like, you know, like there's probably going to be, like, some type of fake punt that they put in during training camp that it never – imaginable, like you would run this thing, and then now it's up this week. Like, just be ready. Like, if we call it, and then, you know, a lot of stuff happens like every week. Like, there's a play, there's a call that's up this week. We might have called it, and they just never call it.
Yeah,
right. So like that happens a lot.
So does it ever happen where a player is like, I can't remember my job on this?
No, because
like, ask another guy or something.
This is, you know how like in movies they're like, hey, like it'll be in a huddle, like, hey, you remember how to run this? Yeah. And you're like, no, like, well, like, you know, out of all the years that I've been in the league and in the, you know, in the huddle, I've never been in the huddle where we just caught a play that we haven't ran in like 2 months. Like, I just don't think there's not enough trust, or there's not enough, not even trust. It's more so like, I ain't calling this thing because I want to make sure that we have it covered, because I don't know if they know how to run it against this type of defense. You know what I'm saying? So like, there's never been a time where like something was up and it just stayed up, and but we never practiced it ever again until like the like last week of the season, or we didn't even practice, we just called it in the game. That is, I've never seen that happen before, to where, you know, you just call something and somebody's like, I don't even know what to do on this play. Now, there are plays, regular plays, where you call something and the guy will be like, what I got on this? He'd be like, bro, like, as we're going to the line of scrimmage, you'd be like, hey, you got blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? Like, so like, there's stuff like that, like, right? And you all, and this is the telltale sign when I know something bad's about to happen. When there's too much talking on the offensive line, when you start seeing that helmet stripe going back and forth like this to each other, somebody doesn't know what to do. Yeah. Or when you see them constantly talking, looking at each other like this as they're getting down, somebody doesn't know what to do. So you just got to know your assignments, man. And as you get closer to the playoffs, there's zero room for it. There's one thing to say there's no room and there's zero room. And I think when you say there's no room, there's a little room, right? Like, I got no room for somebody in this, like, to come in this room. But if I got zero room for it, like, I'm telling you, like, I don't even have an inch of nothing. Like, you can't give up. So, like, when you get to the playoffs, like, if you don't know your assignment, you lose. You go home. Because it's just that critical for you to know everything. Know your opponent. Know your backup. Know what the play calls are going to be. Know your assignments. Know tendencies. All that kind of stuff. Because there's no room for it. There's none. Like, there is zero room for error in this upcoming, like, weeks leading up to it. Like, we can turn the ball over and maybe win a football game. You turn the ball over in the playoffs, it's usually a curtain call.
And that's a big thing, because, like, against the Steelers, muted myself.
I heard you loud and clear.
Yeah. So you look at the stat line for Gardner Minshew, and you don't think that's a great, you know, oh wow, eye popping, right? It was like 18 of, hold on, let me look at that real quick. 18 of 28, 215, right? But when you add three touchdowns and no turnovers, that's his best passer rating he had all year.
Right.
All year long. And it's amazing what scoring and not turning the football over can do on a stat sheet. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, that on that situation, Gardner Minshew has not really been turning the football over ever since what, week six? He's not real, maybe won a game, won every other game, which to me is a good line to have as a quarterback. One turnover every other game is not a backbreaker. Mm-hmm. I don't feel that. Now, is that going to extend the rest of the season? We have yet to find out, right?
Yeah. Right. I mean, here's the deal. You can't turn the ball over and expect to win. So, like, yeah, that stat's fine, like, fine and dandy when it comes to mediocre football. But, like, if we want to win a Super Bowl, or if you want to win your division, or if you want to win in the playoffs, or if you want to win a playoff game, let alone make a run, you can't turn the ball over. Like, and you got to be efficient. You've got to be a leader. You've got to put the weight of the team on your back. You've got to make sure that guys, everyone holds themselves accountable. You hold yourself accountable. And this is just zero. There's zero room for anything else. Like, there's no room for anything else. And so, like, I question going into this playoff picture and just not even getting into playoffs, but just making this playoff run, of the leadership and playoff experience that's on this Colts roster, right? Like, because, like, that matters too. Like, mm-hmm. when you look at these teams come down the stretch, like, the teams that have the more seasoned veteran guys that have been in these positions before, and coaching staff that has been in these positions before, the better off you'll be as a team trying to make this run. You know, like,
that might be one of the reasons why Steichen you know, not just because he's a good backup, but because of why he grabbed Gardner Minshew, because he was there for that Super Bowl run last year with him.
Yeah, 100%. Like, all those, all these little storylines play a part into the decisions they get made. And when they, when he, like, he stands up and he's like, no, I want Gardner here because I know he can do this. Like, I know his quality. I know that he knows what it takes. He's been around it. Even, you know what I'm saying? He knows, like, the laser-like focus we need. All that kind of stuff matters, right? Because not if, even if we have a redraft a quarterback here, at least he can mentor him. And if we have a chance to make a playoff run, he could be the one in the room, right? Making sure that he stays focused and keeping him calm because he's been, he's seen this before, right? Like, he's seen it. Like, a lot of guys, man, will go and have a 10, 11, 12 year career if you play that long and never make the playoffs. And I didn't realize that till I got to Miami in 2008, and we made the playoffs my rookie year, and we were 1-15 the year prior to making the playoffs. And our coach Tony Sperano stood up in the team meeting room, and he's like, "Guys, I just want you to understand that, like, you're making the playoffs special. Don't take this for granted. Like, to make the playoffs, like, it doesn't come easy." And he looked up, he's like, Vonnie Holiday was like one of the older veterans. He's like, "Vonnie, how many years have you played in the league?" I think Vonnie was like in his 12th year or something, 11th or 12th year. He's like, "How many times you made the playoffs?" He was like, "Never, this is my first time." I was like, "What? Like, you've been in the league that long, you never made the playoffs?" But think about it. Like, guys that get stuck on these bad teams, get stuck in Detroit back in the, like, a few years ago. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Just a few years ago.
Get stuck in Cleveland. Get stuck in New York. Like, you can play 5 or 6 years straight without making the playoffs if you stay on one team, and then you go to another team, and they might not make the playoffs. There's no – so, like, it's special. So, when you get – like, when we understood the severity of that, now we went and we got you know, lost in the wild card game. But nonetheless, like, you saw how special it was and how you couldn't take it for granted, yada, yada, yada. So – you know, I just hope that's there for the Colts, because that'll be big too. It's like, yeah, you guys, okay, regular season's great. The playoffs are a whole different monster. I just tell people all the time, like I got out on the field and like the lights were brighter. Like, I swear to goodness, like the lights were brighter. Like everything was just so much more crisp. Like, it was just different. Like, it was like the stadium was like quieter but louder. If I can explain it was just weird. Like, and then forget it. The Super Bowl was just the weirdest experience ever. You know, that was just different. That didn't even feel like a football game. That felt like we were playing like in a showcase of some sort. Like, it was weird. But to say the least, like, it just seemed like, and so like what I'm saying is like every play is so crucial. It's like under a magnifying glass. Like, so like, if you miss a block, like it could potentially lead to you losing the whole deal because you missed your assignment, or if you fumble the football, that might be that turning the like play to like change the whole dynamic of the football game. Like, so like these little mishaps or these bad mistakes or habits that we're making during the year of ball security, of missing blocks, of not wrapping up, right? Of all these things, they cannot happen in the playoffs, and they've got to get cleaned up in these last three games. There's no room to not have them cleaned up. Like, guys can't miss on their tackles. Guys can't miss on their blocks. Like, guys, you can't throw picks. You can't turn the ball over. You can't, if you feel yourself getting hit, you got to secure the football. We can't have strip sack fumbles. Like, all those things like that have happened during the season cannot happen, because you don't have another week to right those wrongs. You don't have another chance to come in the day after the game or 2 days after the game and watch the film and get coached up. Like, it's over. And 9 times out of 10, like, the room that you're in with those 8 or 9 guys on the offensive line or 3 guys, excuse me, playing, you know, a quarterback will not be the same ever again in your life. Hell, the coach might be gone. So he can't even coach you up on the pointers, right? So, like, there's no what – there's, you know, you woulda, coulda, shoulda, wouldas, all that kind of stuff, like – you can't get that back, and you may never make the playoffs again. So guys got to understand the severity, how important this is. They have a cold type of team that can make a run, but they got to cut down on the errors, right? That's it. If they cut down the errors, I think they have a shot, because they're going to have to bump up against a really good football team to advance,
where you can't make those mistakes. You can get away with them with the Steelers. You can get away with them with the other teams that we played. You can't get away with them with certain teams, and that's why they're at the top of the food chain, and you're kind of in the middle of the pecking order.
Yep. We'll kind of get a better look at what our injury report is for this upcoming week on Friday. Know where Michael Pittman's sitting in the concussion protocol. Know more about Zach Moss, where he's sitting with his arm injury and stuff of that nature. We'll get into that a little bit more. But this was us kind of just going over the fact that the playoffs are right around the corner, and this is no bigger time of year for the Indianapolis Colts to be in that playoff mindset, because there are half the rest of the AFC, it seems like, is also in that mindset, right? They're all bidding not just to make the playoffs, but for seeding as well. So this is a great episode. Appreciate you for hanging out and giving us your insight, Donald. And I think that's going to do it for myself and Donald on Believe in Colts, brought to you by Bet Online. And as usual, go Colts.
Go Colts, baby.
Do you believe?